greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Our starting line on the sunny side of sports is Athens, Greece. That's where the energetic Andy Edwards is traveling to this week for sporty coverage. Andy will be in the Greek capital for Sunday's Athens Marathon. But before that, Andy will be attending Friday night's Ames Best Marathon Runners of the Year Awards ceremony in Athens. The male and female winners for 2016 are Eliud Kipchoge and Jemima Sumgong. In addition to sharing a common Kenya homeland, Eliud and Jemima also had common twin triumphs this year. Each won marathon titles in London and at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. In April, Kipchoge won the London Marathon for a second straight time, setting a course record of 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 5 seconds. Eliud then followed that up by winning his first and Kenya's second Olympic gold medal in the men's marathon in a time of 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 44 seconds. Jemima Sumgong also enjoyed an impressive year. Despite falling, she recovered to win the women's title at the London Marathon in 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 58 seconds. Sumgong then traveled to Rio de Janeiro, where she won Kenya's first Olympic gold medal in the women's marathon with a time of 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 4 seconds. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2016, let's go back to London in April, when the energetic Andy Edwards had a chance to talk with both Kipchoge and Sumgong after their victories. Here's Andy.
I'm talking with Eliud Kipchoge, who achieved one of the great marathon wins in history. Eliud, having seen quite a lot of your track career as well, thinking of 2003, that 5,000-meter world championship win against Kenenisa Bekele in Paris, it struck me this was your most dominating performance, dominating win. Now, am I wrong? What do you? You're the man who did it. What do you think?
I think you are right. I really competed for 10 years in track, and although I had a lot of competition, but I think I can sum it in marathon that I enjoyed the marathon than the track, yes.
You seem not only in control of your body, you look so relaxed, even when you're pressing hard and running, well, world record pace, but also in your mind. I mean, was yesterday in London a marathon where everything went right for you?
Actually, everything went right for me. I won, and I break a course record. That's what was in my mind.
I remember after you won Berlin Marathon last autumn, you talked about the importance of the mind being fresh. I think to quote you is something like, "If the body's a bit tired, you can recover faster. But if your mind is stale, then it takes longer." How does the mind feel now after yesterday's win in London?
The mind is good, and that's what, you know, I said last year that it's better for the body to get tired than the mind. For us to actually to cure the mind is really a big work. It needs a psychologist to talk to you. But if the mind is all right, then you are on the right direction. For me, the mind is okay, and I'm working well.
Well, from what we've seen of you so far, Eliud Kipchoge, yeah, you're being pretty good as your own psychologist. All the best. Eliud Kipchoge, the champion of London Marathon 2016. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Energetic Andy also caught up with London women's champion Jemima Sumgong. Once again, here's Andy.
Kenya's Jemima Songong produced one of the great recoveries in women's distance running and marathon running to win the 2016 London Marathon after she'd fallen and been involved in a fall and banged her head and really showed a lot of guts in coming back, not only to complete the race, but to win it. Jemima, when something like that goes wrong in a race, how do you recover? Is it a case of all those years of training and determination that you call upon? Because let's face it, some runners might have said, oh, well, I'm hurt, I'm giving up, but you didn't.
No. That cannot make us to lose the spirit of winning. That's first thing, it was a challenge. So in Kenya, back home, we have different tribes. My tribe is Kalenjin. So first thing, when you get a challenge, that means there is a successful in front of you. So we just believe when you get a challenge, there is a successful in front of you. So when I just punked my head, that was first challenge. And I knew this is now a belief that I'm going to win. Also, it's a matter of training. Back home, Kenya, we can go through hardships through training. So someone can fall down, wake up, and go. So it's just a matter of, it's normal.
That sounds like a mix of course, you've got to do the training. There's no point, if you're not fit, just saying, I'm going to do this. But also a kind of cultural belief. I mean, to be honest, I've heard it said sometimes, somebody who's a Kalenjin who is unfit and then starts to run and then discovers they have great talent. And then somebody else says, oh, well, that's because you're a Kalenjin. You're a good runner because all Kalenjins are good runners. But am I wrong in suggesting that?
No. Oh, I can say not even a tribal like Kalenjins, when they get a challenge, it's a belief that you will win alone. No matter the training you have taken, always when you are coming to a race, you are well prepared from mind, heart, and even physically. You are well fit. So why don't you race and win?
Jemima Songong, women's champion in London 2016. Congratulations. Great performance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. See you next year. Kenya ya leo, Kenya ya leo, usipokazana takufa masikini. Kenya ya leo, haipendi uvivu, usipokazana takufa masikini. Kenya ya leo, Kenya ya leo, usipokazana takufa masikini.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. A Malawian referee is blazing new trails. After officiating at major tournaments like this year's Olympics in Brazil and the FIFA Women's World Cup. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this report from Lamech Messina.
Benedict Quimbilanzika's passion for refereeing started when she joined the Malawian army as a soldier 16 years ago. As a soldier, she used to attend football matches.
At that time, the only thing I knew about football was the offside thing. So when the assistant referee raises a flag and then there's this referee who puts his arm up, whistle, point the other direction. So I was so much interested with what the referees were doing.
A mother of two who now works as a secretary in the University of Malawi had to attend a refereeing course for beginners where she earned a grade 3 refereeing certificate. She has now been officiating matches for 14 years and she has risen to the top of her field at both local and international levels. This year, Quimbilanzika became the first Malawian female referee to officiate at the Olympics. Last year, she became the first Malawian to referee at the FIFA Women's World Cup held in Canada. Also, last year, she was voted the best assistant referee for Malawi's top-level Super League. In 2013, Quimbilanzika scooped up the best referee accolade for the Confederation of African Football Elite A referees course for males and females held in Egypt.
Of course, I wanted to get far with Football Association, but to be honest with you, there was not even a single day I imagined myself officiating at the world's biggest football event like the World Cup, the Olympics.
She owes her success to the adherence to the rules of the game.
As a good referee, you don't have to pretend that you haven't seen something when you have clearly seen it, or to make your own rules. Where it requires a yellow card, you have to caution that player. Where it requires a send-off, you have to show that player a red card.
She says being a female football referee in a country where soccer officiating is dominated by men, she endures insult from soccer fans every time she steps on the field of play. She says some people tell her to officiate netball, one of the most popular women's sports in Malawi. She expects this, however, and says, "I do not give it a damn." Madaliso Peel is a sports editor at privately owned Capital Radio. He says he has long following Kwimbila Senzika's style of officiating.
I can't remember any games that have ended in any kind of controversy, be it violence, or that the teams were not happy with some of the decisions she made. So it speaks volume that this lady knows what she does.
Kwimbila Senzika, who is 35 years old, says it is her wish to maintain her reputation as a good referee until she retires, probably in 5 years' time. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Zomba.
Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Thanks again for that red-hot listening tip, Barry. Speaking of red-hot, Golden State Warriors basketball star Stephen Curry was red hot behind the three-point line on Monday night in Oakland, California. In fact, no NBA player has ever been hotter from three-point territory. Curry made a record 13, count them, 13 three-point shots to lead the Warriors to a 116-106 victory over the winless New Orleans Pelicans. The two-time reigning league most valuable player described it as a special night as he scored a game-high 46 points. Now, Curry's spectacular and record-setting long-range shooting came 3 days after his league record streak of 157 games with at least one three-point shot made was snapped. Curry went 0-for-10 on three-point tries in a 117-97 road loss to the Los Angeles Lakers. Steph says he went hard on himself in practice the past few days and had some pretty good shooting sessions. I think he's regained his shooting touch, VOA basketball fans. In other NBA results Monday night, Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets, they rolled over the visiting Indiana Pacers 122-100. The Hornets improved their record to 5 wins and 1 loss. It's the best start in club history. Point guard Kemba Walker had a game-high 24 points and 10 assists to lead Charlotte. In more NBA scores, the Utah Jazz scored a big 109-84 road victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Jazz have 5 wins and 3 losses to start the season, while Philadelphia has lost all 6 of its games. Philadelphia's young Cameroonian center, Joel Embiid, had 14 points and 9 rebounds in only 19 minutes on the court. The 76ers are restricting Embiid's minutes right now to a maximum of 24 per game after he missed the past 2 seasons because of a broken right foot. In Embiid's words, I want to play more, but it's on them. He's talking about Philadelphia management. Stay tuned, VOA basketball fans, because if Joel Embiid can stay healthy, I think he could be one of the NBA's new young stars. Here in Washington, the Houston Rockets exploded past my beloved Washington Wizards, 114-106. The Wizards, under new coach Scott Brooks, have been less than magical so far. They have one win and five losses. The Rockets, meanwhile, improved to four victories and three defeats. Star guard James Harden, who sports my favorite beard in basketball, had 32 points and 15 assists for the Rockets. In Monday night's other NBA results, the Chicago Bulls scored a 112-80 victory over the visiting Orlando Magic. The host Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Miami Heat 97-85. And the Los Angeles Clippers sailed past the visiting Detroit Pistons 114-80. Star guard Chris Paul had a game-high 24 points for the Clippers, who, like the Charlotte Hornets, are off to their best start in club history, 6 wins and 1 loss. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's take a short break for this important message from a Congolese giant who was inducted last year into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
VOA. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
And you can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty Election Day greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Election Day greetings, Sonny. I think I speak for just about everybody in the building here when I say that we are glad this election is coming to a close. It's been a long one here in the U.S., but we're excited for it for sure.
Very long one. We'll talk more Election Day, Andrew, but yes. Maybe some NBA news is trending
right
now?
Yeah, we got to start with this big news. 0 to 0, or more specifically 13. 0 three-pointers for Steph Curry in his last game before last night. And then last night, 13 three-pointers, setting an NBA record. Fans are just going crazy with this, saying when Steph happens, NBA records fall. That's the Steph Curry I want to see, is a sentiment a couple fans have expressed. And I love this hashtag. Hashtag Steph gonna Steph. Steph Curry is going to be Steph Curry. That's basically, you know, he goes from 0 to setting an NBA record. So there you go. It just, you know, shows that even after having an off day, he's not down on himself. He gets back up, and not only gets back up, but breaks records in the process. So really amazing.
I think a lot of basketball fans thought the Warriors maybe would go unbeaten this year, Andrew, because of the addition of Kevin Durant. But they've already lost a couple games to start the season. But when Curry shoots like that, I mean, it's lights out.
It is lights out, absolutely. And, you know, we talked about this last year, I remember, with the NBA season. What was more important, winning that title or getting the record, the NBA win record? They got the record, but they missed out on the title. I think if you ask them this year, they're not focused on getting that win record and breaking their record from last year. I think they have their eyes on the prize, and they're looking to get that title back. So regardless of the losses, as long as they can make it to the finals and win the championship, that's their goal.
As we mentioned, Andrew, big day here in the United States, Election Day, as Americans go to the polls to vote on their next president. Is there any kind of sports tie-in, Andrew, to this big Election Day?
There is, and since it is such a momentous day here in the U.S., I thought we'd talk a little bit about the two main candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and their sports connection. So we'll start with some of the famous sports figures that have endorsed them. Hillary Clinton in the swing state of Ohio, campaigning with two famous names. Of course, Cleveland is in Ohio, and that means the Cleveland Cavaliers are in Ohio in that swing state. So she was out there campaigning with J.R. Smith and LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers, both of them endorsing Hillary Clinton for president. So drawing in a lot of fans to see them, to see Hillary Clinton as she was on the stump. Donald Trump has some big names in his corner. Coach Bobby Knight, the legendary Indiana coach in college basketball here in the U.S. Mike Tyson has tweeted out his support. Dennis Rodman, Coach Mike Ditka of the Chicago Bears. So a lot of famous sports figures lending their support to Trump. But here's something interesting that happened last night. Donald Trump in the swing state of New Hampshire talking about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Tom Brady, of course, is the quarterback for the New England Patriots of the National Football League. Bill Belichick is the coach. And Donald Trump in the swing state of New Hampshire, where there are a lot of New England Patriot fans saying, well, Tom Brady called me and he said, I love your campaign and I want you to know I voted for you. Here's the issue with that. Gisele Bündchen, the wife of Tom Brady, the Brazilian model, somebody asked her on Instagram saying, did you vote for Donald Trump? Did your husband vote for Donald Trump? And she wrote back in all caps, no. So there's a little bit of question marks
about who he actually voted for.
Yeah, a little bit of a question over this telephone call from Tom Brady, if this actually happened or whether it was something that Donald Trump made up. However, Coach Bill Belichick has indeed said that he is admired Trump leadership. He says Trump's leadership is amazing. So Bill Belichick did say that, but whether or not Tom Brady voted for Donald Trump, that's to be determined. We'll see.
And I think there was a story just a few weeks ago where Brady was asked about the political campaign and Trump, and he got so upset, or maybe annoyed is the better word, that he walked out of the press conference.
Yeah, in the past he said he has admired Donald Trump, and when somebody asked him, are you planning on supporting him? Are you going to endorse him? He just said, thanks very much, guys, and walked away. So not much of an endorsement there. Clearly something he didn't want to talk about, but maybe Gisele is doing the talking for him. Who knows?
Any other endorsements, Andrew, on social media for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Well, talk about actually endorsements from Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton on some sports teams. Hillary Clinton, growing up in Chicago, in the suburbs of Chicago, is a huge Chicago Cubs fan. Now, as we've been talking about all the past couple weeks, the Chicago Cubs, of course, won the World Series, broke that 108-year World Series drought. And there were a bunch of pictures coming out on social media of Hillary Clinton watching that game. Actually, they had a W flag, the famous Chicago Cubs W flag they fly when they win, and one of her staffers had that. So she was holding that up along with some of her staffers. So she's a huge Cubs fan. Donald Trump, big fan of the New Jersey Generals. Now, if you haven't heard of the New Jersey Generals, that's because they haven't been around for a while. It's actually part of the short-lived United States Football League, kind of a competitor to the National Football League. And Donald Trump bought this team, the New Jersey Generals, back in the 1980s and was the owner of this team for 2 years until the league kind of went defunct. But he, even as a business owner, was a previous sports team owner, which is something that, you know, one of his forays that he's made into investments. Now, the one connection, you can't imagine after this contentious election that there could be anything that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton share in common. They're so polar opposites. Mm. But there is something that I found that they do share in the sports world. They are both fans of the New York Yankees.
Interesting.
Now, Hillary Clinton's explained this. She said her National League team in baseball is the Cubs. The Yankees are her American League team. Of course, she was the senator from New York for 8 years. So she says that since she was senator in New York, still has a home in New York, she roots for the Yankees. And Donald Trump has been on the record saying he's a huge Yankees fan, that he has at one point even wanted to buy the Yankees. So not just going into football, he wanted to try to go into baseball, although he never did. But he's been seen at Yankee games, you know, in various spots and boxes and behind home plate. So they do at least share that one sporting thing. As many people in the country are big Yankees fans, so are Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. So maybe, you know, as a reconciliation, they can get together when the baseball season starts and go to a Yankee game together and, you know, bury the hatchet. We'll see if that happens. Not likely, I'd say.
Not likely, but we can hope, Andrew.
We can always hope.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. You got a busy day ahead of you, Andrew.
Absolutely. It's going to be a long one, but a fun one.
And that wraps up the November 8th Election Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
A democracy is a political system wherein the ultimate power lies with the voting citizenry. It is exercised by the people during periodically held free elections, through which the electorate chooses representatives to run the government at every level. Here in the United States, nearly 220 million people are eligible to vote in this year's election, though fewer than 147 million have registered to do so, and fewer still choose to vote. It has been a contentious election, more so than usual, with a country divided along ideological lines behind candidates that represent vastly different proposals for governing over the next 4 years. Yet despite the acrimony, regardless of which candidate wins, and no matter how close the final vote count, the loser is expected to concede the election, step aside, and the outgoing administration will peacefully hand over power to its successor. That is how democracy works. The United States has a federal system by which the voters do not directly elect a president, but instead are represented by electors, chosen by the state and the political party of the popular winner in each state. Individual states have a specific number of electors determined by the size of their populations. Collectively called the Electoral College, these are the people who officially elect the president and vice president of the United States. This is why sometimes a candidate may win the popular vote yet lose the election. Such was the case in the year 2000. In Florida, which has 25 electoral votes, the margin of victory was impossibly narrow and a recount of votes was ordered. Because machines counting the votes could not read some of the ballots and therefore invalidated them, another manual recount was begun. Finally, the matter was referred to the Supreme Court, which ordered the recount stopped. George W. Bush emerged the winner with a margin of 537 votes. In line with the country's democratic principles, his opponent, Al Gore, peacefully conceded the election. Like democracy itself, the electoral system has its flaws. Nonetheless, in the United States, it is still the ordinary voters who choose their representatives for the country's top elected positions. The United States remains, as President Abraham Lincoln called it, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Through a free, fair, and impartial election, it remains so today.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
On Tuesday, November 8th, all eyes will be on America as voters choose the next U.S. president. Tune in to our live comprehensive coverage with our correspondents around the country and around the world. Starting Tuesday at 2200 hours UTC GMT and continuing through Wednesday morning right here on VOA.
Hello, I'm Lenor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at the historic U.S. presidential election and how the results could change the political landscape in the United States. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
VOA News.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.